Nero is gone. Matricide, music, and murder in Imperial Rome. It is now 69 AD, and Rome has another fate. Four emperors, and eventually the Flavians will take charge for the balance of this century. But we're concerned with who tells us about Nero. Anthony Everett and Roddy Ashworth are here. Anthony, we've talked about Tacitus, who's a scold and disdainful of much of Nero's life. Suetonius, I don't have a way of picturing his opinion, or Dio. Did they all have different points of view, or, and did they read each other?
But yes, they probably did. The greatest of all those that you mentioned is Tacitus. He's a great literary artist. We have a great deal of his work surviving, which is good. While Tacitus exaggerates, he never knowingly tells a lie, and so you can depend on him, even if the interpretation that he gives on a given incident or event is not one that you would share. Suetonius is a gossip, and just piles lots of interesting little anecdotes in no particular order. Dio Cassius is a senator from 2 centuries later, and he's as good as his sources. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad.
Yes, he's from the second into the third century. So he can read the original Tacitus and the original Suetonius?
Yes. Well, you need to make yes, he can. But the greatest of them all is, without a doubt, Tacitus. Tacitus is the historian I want to go to my grave with, rather than Suetonius and Dio Cassius.
Now, we've talked about Seneca, who is witty. I understand that he constructs things to make himself look good, but he's very clever, extremely clever. Petronius is the author of Satyricon, I think. And I wanted to mention Satyricon here because so much of you can't make this stuff up is Satyricon, and it looks like Nero spent time imitating Satyricon. Or what did Satyricon imitate Nero? What was the order of battle here?
I thought the former. The Satyricon is an amazing book. It's an unfinished novel, in fact. It's a very early novel, and it's set in low life Italy. It gives a completely different view of the Roman world. This is a brilliant book, extremely funny, very racy, not to be encouraged to your maiden aunt, but it's a great work of art. And I speculate that Nero will have admired the escapades of Petronius's characters. Petronius was a well-known figure at court. He was very elegant, very fashionable, always wearing the latest fashions.
And Nero, did Nero approve of him the way differently than... he was a rival with Lucan. Was he a rival with Petronius?
I think that my suspicion is that he and Petronius got on very well in the back streets late at night, having fun.
Two more. Pliny the Elder, who was vaguely contemporary. Yes, he was exactly contemporary. Do we believe that his version of these events are trustworthy?
He's famous for writing an enormous ragbag of an encyclopedia. Some of the stuff is rubbish. Some of the stuff is extremely interesting, very interesting telling anecdotes about Nero and his time.
He dies in Vesuvius in 79.
He does.
Yes, and let's see, Plutarch, he tells some of the stories, but... just a few anecdotes. He doesn't spend time with Pluto. He writes about Agalba and Otho, who will be two of the four emperors in 69.
So, he writes an amusing essay about Hitler. He writes an amusing essay about Nero after death, where he turns into a frog and is able to sing frog-like for the rest of eternity.
2,000 years later, Nero, matricide, Music and Murder in Imperial Rome. Anthony Everett and Roddy Ashworth are the authors. None of this is predictable. None of it. I recommend. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.